Please take your Bible this morning and join with me as we go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. We have had a month of emphasis on the importance of our Lord's return. O Lord, revive my love for your return. That has been the emphasis during the course of this month. This morning I'd like to conclude this emphasis by addressing the importance of not only understanding Bible prophecy, but also correctly interpreting Bible prophecy, that you and I might experience the full blessings of God. Note here in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 24 and 25, it reads, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let's pray. O God, please teach us from your word this morning. Lord, we rejoice in that wonderful peace that we experience and know of as the children of God. And I pray if there are some present this morning that have yet to know on a personal level of that wonderful peace, I pray that this day will be a day of decision to receive Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, as personal Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen. The gathering of the saints in church, of which our passage mandates that we are not to forsake, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The gathering of the saints in church is a foretaste of a grand gathering of the redeemed at the rapture. And that's why it reads there at the end of verse 25, "as you see the day approaching." Jesus Christ is coming again. He promised that. So our gathering as the redeemed, week in, week out, is just a little taste, foretaste, of this grander gathering that will take place at the coming of Christ, in which the redeemed will be raptured from this sin-cursed world. The Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, that at our Lord's coming, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then for those of us that are alive, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with our Lord. And then verse 18 goes on to teach, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Bible prophecy not only motivates us to obedience, but it should also instill hope. Hope. And as many were concerned about their departed loved ones, the Apostle Paul, under divine inspiration, said, "Comfort one another with these words. If the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that have died in Christ from the time of Christ to the present, their bodies will be raised incorruptible. And then we which are alive, and I'm looking forward to that element of it, I've already placed my request in, if God wills, we which are alive at his coming, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. This is our hope. This should motivate us to do right and to obey God. And that's why verse 25 reads, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I see that some are not in church this morning. That's a bit sad. That's a bit sad. Because as we assemble, we are enjoying a little taste. Oh, it's micro. In comparison to that grand gathering of which the redeemed will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. And my friend, this morning Jesus Christ is coming again, and it could be today. I've already put my request in. I'd like to be alive, O Lord, if you will. And I'd like to be in church. Wouldn't that be wonderful? On a Wednesday night. When the serious Christians turn up for church. I put my request in. But the Lord's will be done. I know he's coming again, and I have that hope, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sounds like a good verse to commit to memory. And as we move closer towards our Lord's imminent return, and as people move further away from God, the voice of God, listen to me carefully, gets louder and louder with natural disasters. Have you noticed? Man's not listening, so God turns up the volume, and he turns up the volume via natural disasters. As never before, we hear of countries in crisis. Not only due to natural disasters, but economically. But also in energy supplies. Climate change is on the world stage. You might have noticed. My friend, may I remind you that the climate has always been changing. And if people think the answer is more electric vehicles, have less children, stop landfill, recycle more, wear more jumpers, use less electricity, get rid of plastic bags, knives, forks, and as the old Mexican proverb states, you are barking up the wrong tree. My friend, we are living in the last days. And the Lord Jesus said, my return is near. When you hear of wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, diseases, floodings, earthquakes. We have earthquakes today as never before. Turkey just had an earthquake. When was the last time you heard of Turkey having an earthquake? They deserve an earthquake. We expect Japan, but Turkey, Indonesia, We had a tremor here in Australia early this year. Did you know? Not in Sydney, but in Australia. My friend, as man turns his back on God, God has to turn up the volume. And he's turning up the volume. And Jesus said, when you hear wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, floodings, earthquakes, all of this and the increase, you are being forewarned that my return is nigh. In Luke 21:28, Jesus said, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And then in verse number 33, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. God has been true to his word to date, and God will continue to be true to his word. Jesus said, I'm coming again, and he will come again. And God is giving the world some forewarning. And as man turns to turn his back on God, God will just simply turn up the volume. And that's exactly what we see today. God is turning up the volume. Oh God, bring it on. Bring it on. That's my prayer. I speak as a prophet, you know that. Sydney needs an earthquake to wake people up that there is a God in heaven. His name is not Mother Nature, his name is Almighty God, the Prince, the King, the Lord of all. We need a bit of a shake up. When you consider the scriptures, we note in scripture that a large portion of the word of God deals with Bible prophecy. From the promises made to Israel, the church, we have the details of the coming tribulation period, the kingdom reign of Jesus Christ, heaven, the eternal realm, a large portion of the minor prophets, a large portion of the major prophets are given to prophecy, not only prophesying his first coming, our Lord's first coming, as the Savior of the world, but also prophesying of his second coming when he will come and reign. And then we read in the Gospels, solid portions of the Gospels in reference to prophecy. We read through the epistles and we see references to Bible prophecy. We have books devoted predominantly to Bible prophecy, like 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, the book of Revelation, that directly refers to future Bible prophecy, not past church history, as the Protestants teach. That's nonsense. But that which is yet future. So a large portion of the scriptures deals with Bible prophecy, and it should be of interest to you and I, because Jesus Christ is coming again. The importance of understanding Bible prophecy, the importance of correctly interpreting Bible prophecy, point number one is a must, because a large portion of the scriptures deals with Bible prophecy. It's been estimated that 25% of the scriptures deals with Bible prophecy. That's one quarter. 25%, one in four verses. That's a huge chunk of the Word of God. So it's important that we value Bible prophecy. It's important that we correctly interpret Bible prophecy. The weight of emphasis in the scriptures on Bible prophecy should cause us to value and motivate us to have a correct understanding of our Lord's return and what is yet to come. Because everything's on schedule. When I heard the other week of that little earthquake there in Turkey. God's at work. God's turning up the volume. And when it comes to Bible prophecy, and when it comes to correctly interpreting Bible prophecy, we need to note that God has a specific plan for Israel and for His church. And they are distinctly different. Note there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, the Bible reads, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Note from this verse that God makes a distinction between Jew, Gentile nations, and the church of God. In the Old Testament, we have the birth of a Jewish nation, Israel, from which God promised to bless the whole world with a Savior. And also throughout Scripture, we see how God has worked through Gentile nations, such as Persia, Greece, the Romans, to provide religious freedom, a universal language, roads to carry the gospel in the regions beyond. Gentiles, Jews, Gentiles, and the church of God. In the New Testament, we have the coming of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of countless prophecies that relate to His first coming, the Messiah promised by many of the Old Testament prophets. So in the New Testament, we have the coming of Jesus Christ. And with the coming of Jesus Christ, we have the birth of the church, where Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." This New Testament church is made up of the redeemed. When Simon Peter confessed Jesus Christ as personal Savior, Jesus said, "Upon this rock," not on Peter, upon Peter's confession, "Peter, you're a little pebble. I'm the rock, I'm the boulder. And upon this rock, the boulder, I'm going to build my church." So Jesus Christ brought into existence the church, what we know of as the New Testament church, which is distinct from Israel, made up of saved individuals. And when Jesus Christ comes in the cloud, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain. How do I qualify for that, Pastor? For those of us that have received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then there will be at that point one glorious church with Jesus Christ at the head, made up of saved individuals. And if we are to correctly interpret Bible prophecy, we need to understand that there is a difference between Gentile nations, God working through Gentile nations, and God working through the nation of Israel, and God working through the New Testament church. Israel and the church are distinct and different in entity and purpose. One is not the other repackaged. It's so critical that we understand that. That is what we must understand that. There is Israel. God has a plan for Israel, and God isn't finished with Israel. God's still working. But in the meantime, God is working through his New Testament church. One is not the other repackaged. This is what we call replacement theology. This is what Protestants believe. We're not Protestants, we're Baptists. We're Bible believers, we're Baptists. That's synonymous. We don't believe in replacement theology, that the church today is spiritual Israel of yesterday. That's not Bible. That type of belief will distort your understanding of Bible prophecy correctly. They are distinctly different. God still has a literal plan for Israel as a nation. As we know, back in 1948, Israel became a bona fide, recognized nation once again, fulfilling countless Bible prophecies, of which prophets of old foretold that God's people will regather in the land and they will regather as a nation. And that miracle took place in 1948. I believe in miracles. I really do. Israel is a miracle. Their existence to this day is a miracle. Though they lie in unbelief, God's not finished with them yet. God's still at work. God still has a literal plan for Israel as a nation. The book of Daniel tells us of this in chapter 9. And with Israel in unbelief, rejected Jesus Christ as Messiah, God today is using his church to carry out the Great Commission, to be the beacon of light in this world full of darkness. And when God removes the church, the redeemed, at the rapture, then God will complete his dealings with the nation of Israel. And this is known as Daniel's 70th week. 7 years of tribulation spelled out there in Revelation chapter 6 all the way through to chapter 19. And that's why when you read through the book of Revelation, we read of the church in chapters 2, chapter 3, no more church. Because the church does not go through the tribulation period. The tribulation period, that 7 years of judgment, has Israel predominantly in mind. It is Daniel's 70th week. We as the redeemed will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air before the beginning of the tribulation period. The Bible teaches a pre-tribulation rapture. Not a mid-tribulation rapture. Not a post-tribulation rapture. A pre-tribulation rapture. Because the redeemed make up the church and we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And God has told us in his word that he has not appointed us a day of wrath. And if you understand there is a distinction between Israel and the church, you won't get all muddled up.
Those that get muddled up as to when the rapture takes place do not have a biblical understanding, a biblical acceptance that God has a plan for Israel and God has a plan for his church. That's why after Revelation chapter 3, you don't read of the church again. Because John the Apostle, the Lord said to John the Apostle, come up hither. Come up hither. In Revelation chapter 4 verse 1, illustrating the fact of the rapture of the church before the tribulation period. So if we are to correctly understand and interpret Bible prophecy, we need to understand that God has a specific plan for Israel, literal. And God has a specific plan for you and I that make up the New Testament church. And secondly, this morning, we need to rightly divide the Word of God. Quickly, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse number 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Note, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Not only do we need to understand that God has a plan for Israel and God has a plan for his church, and they are distinctively different entities, and God has a different purpose for Israel and God has a different purpose for the New Testament church, but also it's important that we understand that we need to rightly divide the Word of God. Because as you read the Scriptures from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, we see within the Scriptures different economies which God has worked and will work. This is what we call dispensations or times of administration. That's what the word means, dispensations. Such as there was a time of innocence back in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2 and 3. And then we have the entrance of sin and we have that period of conscience. The conscience was quickened. That takes us from chapters 4 to chapter 8. And then we have the dispensation of government is introduced from chapter 9 of the book of Genesis. And then from Genesis chapter 12 we have the dispensation of promise, where God promised a Savior will come in and through the line of Abraham. And then we move into the book of Exodus onwards. We have the dispensation of the law, where God spelled out his demands upon his people. Yet his people could not keep those demands. They made atonement for their shortcomings. And God granted them hope in a Messiah to come that will deal with their sin once and for all. God's demands, man's inability to meet God's standards, leads us into the New Testament. A Savior has come. Savior that was promised countless times within the writings of the Old Testament has come. And we're about to celebrate his coming. And with the coming of Christ and with his ascension, we are now in what we refer to as the church age. Call it what you want, but we'll call it the church age. Got to call it something. You need a name. Or if you'd rather me call you, let me know. We'll just call it the church age. From the ascension of Christ, we are in what we call the church age, that God commissioned his church to go and preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them, and teach them the word of God. That's our mandate from Almighty God. And we'll continue to do so until he comes again. So we're in the church age. God is working in and through the New Testament church. Israel has been set aside. If you don't believe me, Not now, because you won't have time. Read Romans 9, 10, and 11. Read of Israel's past, present, and future. What God has planned for Israel. And at the rapture of Christ will begin that next dispensation known as the tribulation period, where God will ignite what Daniel referred to as his 70th week. That 70 weeks are determined upon the nation of Israel, where God will bring Israel to its knees, and the Bible teaches us that Israel will be saved and then persecuted during the tribulation period. And then last but not least, there is the dispensation of the 1,000-year reign with Christ, to which we will return with Christ at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, and we will reign with Christ on the earth 1,000 years. Literal 1,000 years. And that will lead us into the eternal realm. God will create a new heaven, new earth. Revelations 21 and 22. It's so critically important that we understand the importance of Bible prophecy, and to interpret Bible prophecy correctly, we need to understand there is a plan for Israel, there is a plan for the church, and we need to secondly rightly divide the Word of God. And we need to understand that the Scriptures are, in the light of His return, we are instructed accordingly. There is profit. There are instructive elements connected with our Lord's return. We see, for example, that the whole theme in 1 and 2 Thessalonians deals with future prophecy. Not only to instill hope, but to motivate God's people to obedience, to live a life of godliness. For example, note there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, if we only had time to go through the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, we will note a number of exhortations in relation to our Lord's return. Note there in chapter 5, verse 23, one more example. In light of our Lord's return, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Unto what? Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are some practical elements connected to Bible prophecy. And if you and I do not appreciate and understand and correctly interpret Bible prophecy, then we will not value the exhortations connected to future Bible prophecy. That should go without saying. And also, it's very important that we understand Bible prophecy, we correctly interpret Bible prophecy, because this is a wonderful means of witness. A wonderful means of witness. Our memory verses for this month, they're in Titus chapter 1, verses 11 to 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. God's salvation is offered to all men.
And note verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. A correct understanding of Bible prophecy equips you and I to be a powerful witness of the saving grace of God. If you understand Bible prophecy, you can witness with effect, because the signs are in the air. They're all around us. You can make simple statements like, have you noticed that we're hearing a little bit more about earthquakes? Did you hear of the earthquake in Turkey? Had you ever heard of earthquakes in Turkey before?
No.
Well, do you realize Australia had a little earthquake earlier on this year? Seems like there's a lot more earthquakes taking place. Then you can bring them to the scriptures, where Jesus said, when you see, hear of these, my time draweth near. So if you and I do not have a correct understanding of Bible prophecy, then we are limited in the effect of our witness. Israel returning to the land, though in unbelief, yet in their land, the state of Israel. That is a miracle, beloved. That is a miracle. If you understand Bible prophecy, whenever you hear the word Israel, miracle. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, talks about increase of knowledge. Heard of Google? Not sure if you really call that knowledge, but that's means of knowledge, more knowledge. Never ending. You can find whatever you want to find. You can choose what you want to believe and find it eventually. If you Google for long enough, you'll find somebody that agrees with you. Increase of knowledge, increase of travel, we see falsehood, we see apostasy in our day as never before. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 3. We have deterioration in humanity at a rapid pace. People are really going mad. Have you noticed? Talk to me. They are. Why? Because they are without hope. They've thrown God out. That's why mental illness is on the increase. By the way, it's not a mental illness. It's a spiritual problem. Depression's a spiritual problem. Anger's a spiritual problem. Worry's a spiritual problem. Not organic, it's spiritual. Anyway, that's free. Forgive me for the sidetrack. One of my little pet peeves. And when you read the scriptures and you see what God has spelled out in the scriptures in light of his soon return, what a powerful witness it is that, hey, this book is true. And let me tell you what it teaches. Jesus Christ is coming again. And then there will be trouble as never before. At net zero will be of no value. It's important that we correctly interpret the Word of God. Note there quickly, 2 Peter chapter 1. Bear with me, I'm almost there. I know I'm getting long-winded, but I'm getting old. So be patient with me. Note here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. It reads, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any, what? Private interpretation. Now, there are some keys in summary that we need to bear in mind, key ingredients to correctly interpret studying Bible prophecy. At the forefront is interpret Scripture literally. If the plain sense makes sense, seek no other sense. The other main method today that is propagated in order to interpret prophecy is what is referred to as the allegorical method, which is to spiritualize the truth. And this method is predominant within Protestant churches today. You and I, as Bible-believing Christians, read the book of Revelation at face value. Literal. When you read it in its context, there'll be 7 years of judgment where God will pour out his wrath upon Israel and upon the world. Those that believe the allegorical method, they spiritualize the book of Revelation and they say this book of Revelation teaches church history past. That's the Protestant interpretation of what the Bible teaches us of the details of the book of Revelation. It's history, church history past, which is ridiculous. Thanks to Augustine, a forefather of the Roman Catholic Church, who was instrumental in propagating that form of interpretation. He becomes the authority as to how to interpret the Word of God. But beloved, we have God's Word because we have the meanings of God's Word in the Word. Not how somebody chooses to interpret the Word. It's in the Word. So when God said horse, he meant horse. When God said eagle, he meant eagle. It's not complicated. But if God says, as an eagle, okay, there's an application there. Like a horse, there's an application there. We can look for the spiritual backing of what God is trying to communicate. So interpret the scriptures literally. And as I've already said, distinguish between Gentiles, God working through Gentile nations, Israel and the church. Recognize that there are different dispensations that we are in this day, for a better word, the church age. Israel has been set aside, but God isn't finished with Israel. So interpret the scriptures literally. Just read the word of God like a love letter. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Well, what does that mean? Well, God's just told us what it means. God doesn't play hide and seek with us. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. And be consistent. If we apply the literal interpretation of Scripture, do so from Genesis to Revelation. Don't pick and choose. And this is what Protestant churches do. They pick and choose. They believe in a literal Abraham in Genesis 12, but they don't believe that God literally created in 6 literal 24-hour days in Genesis 1 and 2. Get off the grass, Charlie Brown. Be consistent. Do you think God has the power to create 6 literal days, yes or no? Do you think God needed thousands of years to create, yes or no? No. God could have created in a microsecond. But God saw fit to create in 6 literal days. On day 7, he rested, hence
the week. Literal. So be consistent. These Protestants are not consistent. They talk about theistic evolution. Oh, there's new science discoveries today that cause us to interpret every day as thousands of years. Really? The morning and the evening was the first day. The morning and the evening was the second day. Well, how else do you interpret that? Let me tell you what these latest scientific discoveries are. Evolution. That is not a discovery, that is a theory. Amen. Wake up, Australia. Wake up, Christian. Is not God all-powerful? Talk to me. Of course he is. So God created in six literal 24-hour days. Pastor, do you believe that? Yes. Because God said it. What's the problem? And these Protestants ignore the first two chapters of the Bible and they convolute the last book of the Bible that is referring to future prophecy. They say, oh, no, you can't take it that way. Revelation is all about past church histories. They spiritualize it. As one man said, they jump through a lot of hoops to do so. Where they say ridiculous things like the two witnesses are, you ready for this one? This is common. One is the Reformation. Did you know that? No, I didn't know that either. And the other is the Waldensians. The Waldensians were Bible-believing Christians that were persecuted by the Protestants and the Catholics. And the two witnesses work together to be a witness in the tribulation period? I don't think so. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Quickly, let me close before I get mad. Pastor, why are you so uptight about this prophecy stuff? Well, let me tell you why. Go to Revelation chapter 1, and I promise you I will finish up. Are you saying that people that are in Protestant churches are not Christians? I never said that. Don't put words in my mouth. Are you saying, Pastor, that only Baptists are Christians? I never said that. Don't put words in my mouth. I'm sure there's some genuine believers that are in these churches. But they're in churches that do not teach the truth. That's why if I hear of you going to an Anglican Presbyterian church, I'll be very disappointed. Because you are throwing out a quarter of the Bible. I'm not being mean, I'm just being truthful to you. Now look at this, Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3. Let's read it together. After two, Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3. 1 and 2. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Did you get that? There is a blessing connected to future prophecy. There is a blessing connected to future prophecy. And keep it. What does it say? The time is at hand. Well, what does that convey? Past? Talk to me. Future? Talk to me. Yes!
There is a blessing connected to Bible prophecy, correctly interpreting Bible prophecy. Now quickly, go to chapter 22 of Revelation. Look at verses 18 and 19. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. I read, you focus on the words. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That's pretty heavy. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Future, not past church history. There is a blessing connected to Bible prophecy. And God has a solemn judgment upon those that reject Bible prophecy. God said it. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? Let me encourage you to value Bible prophecy, because there is a blessing connected to it. And in the foyer, there are many booklets for you. Free. Did you catch that? Free. That will help you to better understand Bible prophecy. And if you want God's blessing upon your life, then you and I need to understand and correctly interpret Bible prophecy and keep. And God said, I'll bless you. Reject, I'll curse you. And this is what we see in Christianity today. Great apostasy in mainline churches because they've rejected a quarter of the Bible. I'm not saying we're the only church. I've never said that. But it's important that you and I be a part of a church that believes the whole book. Because I want God's blessing upon my life. I want God's blessing upon my family. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.